You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode 46. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats and future expats can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey. Once again, welcome to the show. First of all, I would like to take the opportunity to thank those of you fellow expats who are sending in email messages, giving me suggestions on some topics that I can cover during our episodes. I really appreciate these messages coming in, and please keep them coming. And if you can, please drop by iTunes and leave us a rating there so we can help get the word out about expat living and this show and what we are trying to do. Also, in some future episodes, I will be delivering news that pertain to expat living from different parts of the world. I'm doing this in an attempt to help those who are thinking about becoming expats or those who are already expats understand more about the particular environment they're located in. Today, my guest is Mr. Dre Gibson. He's my first former U.S. military expat on the show. Now, Dre is living in Germany and has three wonderful kids that I will let him talk about during our interview. And without further ado, here is the interview. How you doing, Dre? How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, you sound good today. Where are you coming to us from?
I'm in Frankfurt, Germany.
Frankfurt, Germany. And where's home originally?
Macon, Georgia. Dead in the heart of Middle Georgia. Dead in the center. You could take your finger and just you can touch my city on a map just by putting your finger dead in the middle of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm from.
You miss the food, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. We'll get back to that. How long you've been in Germany?
So this is my second time in Germany. The first time was in my early 20s. I was in the military, and okay. I came here in 1996, and I was here from 1996 to 2003, and I went back to the States, and I was in the States for a while, and I just came back here this time with my wife, who is also German.
Oh, cool.
We came 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Wow. So you got, okay, Uncle Sam called you to get over there. And so you had no chance to do any kind of research about the place, right? Nothing, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that much. My uncle was here. My uncle is military, and he was here in 1996 when I came. Mm-hmm. So everything I knew about Germany was just, you know, what he and my aunt, you know, was saying about it. I only knew it from their eyes. And they were much older than I was. So, mm-hmm. You know, I came over in my early 20s. So it was definitely an experience.
So you went over
a great experience.
You went over to do your job.
Right. Well, yeah, I came to do a job, but you know, it's not like I didn't have fun. I had a lot of fun.
Oh my goodness!
Like, Germany is an awesome place to live.
In what way? What's the awesomeness about it? Tell me about it.
Well, are you want the 20-year-old Dre or the 40-year-old Dre?
You can give me the 20. You can give me the 20-year-old Dre, but with conservative a monologue to it. How about that?
Okay. So the first time I came here, like I said, it was back in the mid 90s, 1996. You know, I was in my early 20s, and you know, we partied a lot. I lived in the barracks. You know, I lived in a barracks with, a group of friends who, you know, we were all in the same situation, all from different backgrounds, from different parts of the country. And we partied a lot. And that's as conservative as I can get.
So it was no problem interacting with the local community, right?
Oh, God, no.
Nothing.
No,
nothing.
No. Here's the deal, I think. And I think that... because, you know, I was on a military post, the local nationals, they, you know, they had a lot of experience with Americans, you know, right. Even in my job, in my military job was to interact with local businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, I would purchase things from local businesses. And so, and they knew, you know, most of the people spoke English. There wasn't, you know, an English barrier problem. So it wasn't for me, at least, it wasn't that much different from living in the States, other than, you know, the food and, you know, it was a different culture. I'm sorry, say that again.
The weather.
Well, yeah, the weather. I mean, even though I'm from Georgia, a lot of my childhood was in Milwaukee. So I was already used to the snow. So even the weather wasn't that much different from what I was used to. It was just, you know, the differences was only cultural, but it, you know, but it was all good. Like it was a great experience.
Did you pick up any German?
No.
Oh man, you're terrible.
I didn't. I'm married to a German woman. And I've been married 14 going on 15 years. And I do not speak German. My two youngest kids speak German, but me and my oldest one, he's 12, we don't speak the language at all.
Okay, now Dre's going to lose two points in this competition.
You know, I should lose more than two. I will concede that.
Oh, man.
I should lose more than two.
I'm trying to get everybody else to speak other languages, and Dre comes here. I knew you, there's something you picked up. But anyway, you know, so, you know, what if you stop for a moment, you never envisioned yourself being out there for this amount of time, right? And if you look back, I mean, what reflections do you have so far?
No, I didn't. Well, look, you know, I grew up, and you may be able to relate to this, you know, I didn't grow up rich, right? I grew up, you know, poor, relatively poor. And so leaving the States was never in my, you know, I didn't think I was on a road to ever leave the States. I mean, I actually never thought I would probably leave, you know, Wisconsin or Georgia. So, you know, between those two. So I never thought that I would end up, you know, not just living in Germany, but, you know, traveling to other European countries and living in South Korea. I was in South Korea for a while. And, you know, just seeing Paris and Amsterdam and Berlin and Italy and, you know, I never thought that I would be in a position to just travel.
Wow. It's good to turn something like that into something memorable. But how about, what are any like hard adjustments you had to, you know, make, you know, had to deal with, you know, like, I hate to always say, well, you have a homesick. No, it's more than that. What kind of hard adjustments did you had to make?
Honestly, man, there were no hard adjustments for me.
Serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Maybe just one of these optimistic guys.
This would be, right, well, maybe it's that. I mean, the only adjustment, and I'm embarrassed to say this, was television. You know, that was it. You know, it not getting, you know, my television shows, you know.
what shows are you talking, you know,
when
about
when they
now?
Aired in the state?
This is going to tell your age now. What show are you talking about?
Right, right. Well, back in 1996, like Friends. Okay. I'm trying to think, was Friends on the air then? Definitely Seinfeld. Like, I was a Seinfeld fan. So, you know, because we were, you know, over here, they didn't air. The episodes didn't air when they aired in the States. Mm-hmm. So we would get them later.
Wow. And that was pre-internet. That was pre-Facebook and all that stuff.
Right. This is before, you know, YouTube and Facebook. So, you know, again, you know, it was before Netflix and Hulu. So the only way I could watch television was to physically sit down on a couch and watch whatever was coming on. And, you know, and I had to wait. Like, I liked Alec McBeal and Sex and the City. you know, like all of the television shows that I watched, you know, I had to wait either for them to come on VHS or DVD. Mm-hmm. Because I think around that time is when I started buying DVDs and what we call now binge watching.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that can be bad.
You remember, you know, like what we call now binge watching, right? I would have to wait for, you know, the season to come out on DVD or something like that in order for me to see it. So that was the only adjustment that I had to make, and that wasn't big. It's not like, you know, I'm only thinking about it now because you kind of brought it up.
And usually the delay was about how long? Like it came out in the States? What, 2 or 3 months?
So, well, for German television, it was like a year.
Oh, my goodness.
But for you know, when I was in the military and I lived on a military post, we got AFN, which is the Armed Forces Network. Mm-hmm. And we would get TV shows maybe a month or two later. It's much better now. Mm-hmm. Now when something airs in the States, it airs here like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But back then, you know, I remember watching something on television and you know, talking on the phone with my brother, and he would go, "Man, that came on a year ago."
Is there interesting you brought that up, because I always ask my guests, you know, like how do you maintain contacts with friends and family back home? Of course, now it's a lot more convenient, but how about back then? It was just the telephone or what? Morse code? Are you a ham radio operator or what?
Telephone and email.
Oh, okay.
Email was beginning to, you know, become widespread then. And a lot of my cousins that were my age, they all worked in jobs where they had email accounts and, you know, had access to a computer. So it would, you know, I would email them a lot. And for me, like, you know, talking to my mother and my grandmother and my brothers and sisters, I would, you know, just call home.
That's it. That's call
home. It would just be expensive, but I would just call home.
Yeah, but, you know, there's that word called collect. You know that one, right? Collect call.
Right. I don't know if you can call collect from overseas.
Oh,
I don't
really.
Yeah. I've never tried it.
Okay. You going to give me your number.
Plus,
and I'm going to try
my mother
to call to your house.
Accepted it anyway. She wouldn't have accepted it.
Oh my goodness. She wouldn't. Okay. Okay. Then you knew where you stood. So,
right. But even if that was a thing, my grandmother, I would have had to be near death for them to accept the call. That wasn't happening.
Well, before I go, before I jump now, let's talk. I want to talk about maybe a little bit before you got married. You know, when you got into Germany, did you find yourself like rediscovering yourself or anything about your environment or the world?
Yes.
Besides the partying, though, I want to hear more.
No. When I got here during the time, and that's why maybe, you know. Coming here changed my perspective, like major. I'm not going to say I had a small worldview,
mm-hmm.
you know, before I joined the military and left the United States, but because I just don't think that, again, you know, other countries, like I knew there was a huge world out there. Of course, you know that because you take geography like in 10th grade, but you know, where I'm from, you know, and the people that you know, I knew, traveling wasn't a thing. That wasn't something, you know, leaving the country wasn't something you discussed. It wasn't part of your goals. It wasn't part of your dream. You know,
right.
You know, nobody around me had the dream to go to Paris. That just wasn't a thing. So when I did come to Germany and I started to meet not just people, you know, other foreigners, you know, other, you know, Europeans, people from France and, you know, people from Brazil that was living in Germany, other expats,
mm-hmm.
But I also got a chance to meet, different people from, you know, around the United States. You know, I didn't realize, you know, I had never really thought about Minnesota.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm friends with someone that's in, you know, that's from Minnesota or Utah. Like I never even thought about certain states, you know, in my own country. And now, you know, I'm, you know, living amongst and eating with and hanging out with, you know, with people from, you know, Arizona and Maryland and, you know, just, you know, from around the country. So it changed my perspective. It, it, it showed me that, man, there is a huge world outside of the walls that I, you know, grew up in.
Right. The great oceans kind of surrounding the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Friendly northern neighbors and neighbors to the south. It's quite interesting. And you know, it's very interesting because you said you're meeting people from your home country that probably back in your home country, you wouldn't probably even talk to each other, you know?
Right. Yeah. I would never, you know, maybe I would have passed them at a, you know, at a rest stop.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, gave the cordial head nod or wave, but we would have never sat down and had a conversation.
But this is very interesting because now you got me thinking, because you meet people from back home overseas. Now, do you think that all your guys from the same country, from different parts, you're all in the same boat? Do you think that made your relationships better with your countrymen? You know, because you're all overseas. Do you think it brings up?
You mean like having that commonality?
Yeah, that commonality.
Yeah. Right. So my wife is in the Army now, mm-hmm. right? But before it was me that was military, and I remember once she asked me about, you know, the guys that I was in the Army with, and I remember once she asked me, you know, hey, you know, why do you stay in touch with them? You know, like did you really care about them that much? And, you know, especially because, you know, we didn't, you know, we were only stationed together like, you know, 3.5 years. So, and I was like, yeah, but, you know, I was trying to explain to her, in the Army, a day is like, you know, a month mm-hmm. for us. So you can, you know, if someone comes to the unit, you know, and, you know, by, you know, on Monday, by that Friday, you almost know everything about them. So you're already close to them. So I was much closer to, you know, some of my guys. In fact, we called ourselves 113. So I'll refer to them as 113. Mm-hmm. I was closer to 113 than I were to guys that I had grew up with. Wow. That I had, you know, that I knew from seventh grade, you know, until now. I still know more about those guys. Because and I think it's because of what you just said, is we had something in common. You know, we had all been, you know, not taken from our, you know, environments because we chose to, you know, join the Army. But we had left our environments and we were all living in this foreign land. And, you know, that was something that we all could identify with. And I think that made us closer.
So
you would just open up, like I would find myself telling them things that I would never told, you know, my friends in the States.
Wow. Cause usually, you know, this podcast is about expat living, and usually I try to tie it in between, say, the expat and the local population. Were there any situations where how did you deal with the local population? Maybe I should say that. Were there any commonalities you came upon?
Yes. So I have an Iranian friend that I'm really close to. I've known him since 2003. He was at my wedding.
And he's local.
Well, he's Iranian, but he's in German. He has a, you know, he's a German Iranian.
Okay.
So, and I know many Africans. I was friends with, you know, many Africans. From like Eritrea and Ethiopia and Nigeria. Like I said, French, Russian, you know, Germany is a melting pot. It is a very diverse, you know, population.
Right.
There's a lot of Turkish. I have one of my best friends is, you know, married to a Turkish a woman, and their son is my grandson. So he's, you know, wow. Half Turkish, half Trinidadian. Yeah. So I do know a diverse group of people.
So it's like you've been thrown in a mixer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And again, that changes your perspective because, you know, they didn't think like me,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm talking to someone who had completely different views for me.
Well, okay, but let me jump on that question.
That fascinated me.
Let me jump on that question, though. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Jump on that question. Because do you find, like, okay, you're meeting people local, you're meeting people who originally were not from Germany, and you're talking to them. Were there any type of, and I ask everyone this, any type of stereotypes you had to either crush or further expound upon? Because, you know, these things, people ask questions. And, you know, as you get to know people longer and more, you know, the questions become very, how would you say, wide. Okay.
Right. Yeah. There are many stereotypes that not just Black Americans have, but just Americans in general. And some of them are not good, and some of them, you know, just kind of, you know, tongue in cheek. They're funny. I've met, and again, because I'm still talking about, you know, the late 90s before social media, the Germans, you know, I knew a lot of German girls and guys, mostly girls.
Okay. Your wife is not, is she going to listen to this podcast?
She is.
Okay, you're in trouble.
Maybe I'd come to Taiwan and sleep on your couch.
I'm keeping this recording just in case I need for evidence, but that's okay.
Right.
Moving right along.
But what they knew about us, again, because it was before social media, they only knew what they saw in movies.
Right.
Right. So, so for example, what they saw on music videos, that's what they like. For Black Americans. So when I came here, it was really funny. We used to laugh about this all the time. You would go to the club and every German dude dressed like Tupac.
Uh-oh.
Every German dude. Because that's what they saw. And none of us dressed like Tupac. Right? But that's how they thought Americans dressed. Because that's what they saw on, television. And most, you know, if you would speak to a German, they thought that all Black people drove around in Cadillacs.
Oh, no, that's
right. Yeah. Right. They, you know, and they thought that we were all from bad neighborhoods. And I go, no, not all of us. You know, we're not all from bad neighborhoods. But, you know, again, I didn't blame them from that because that's what they saw.
Right.
Now it's completely different. You know, like now. You know, young kids, they have their own style, you know, because I guess I'm a credit social media for this.
Oh,
you know, they don't dress like what they see on videos or television or movies anymore. They just, you know, kind of dress the way they want to dress. So it's definitely more collective here now.
Wow. Well, how about the other way around? Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just to tie that, you know, thought together. Yeah. I did encounter some stereotypes, but nothing was ever bad though. You know, again, my overall, you know, Germany is a very progressive and tolerant place overall. So I never felt like I was in a situation where, you know, I was never offended. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. Right. You know, I was offended.
Well, there's good people in bad places. There's good people in bad places and with bad places with good people. And, you know, that's the honest truth. And how about if I turn that question around, because I always do. How about you having to squash some opinions, stereotypes of people back home concerning where you were located overseas in Germany?
Ooh, wow, dude.
Did I get you on that one?
But no, it's because I'm trying to think of how to frame this.
Uh-oh.
Because one, I'm nervous, so I'm stuttering a lot. And then two, it's like, oh, shoot. So here's the, I'm going to just say it. So for me, and this is only my experience, people back home had no idea what the rest of the world was like.
Oh, for real?
So when I would come home, I would get questions like, you know, I would just, you know, tell somebody, oh yeah, man, I'm in Germany. Oh man, where's that? That I would get that.
No.
Hey, where's that? I would get, do y'all live in houses there? You know, do you live in houses or like, you know, and I would just say like, what am I supposed to live in?
And tell me like, why do you think now you got questions like that?
Because again, I'm this is only, you know, my experience. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that, you know, most Americans knew that Berlin is a bustling, you know, city, and Germany has, you know, a strong economy. I'm sure they knew that, but where I was from, they just did not know that. They did not know. They couldn't imagine what my day was like here.
Nothing to compare it to.
Exactly. I was like, no, man, dude, they have a, like, I ride the train from, like, I can jump on the train and go all the way to Paris, dude, all the way to, you know, Italy. They could not fathom that. That just wasn't a thing. That's like, oh, for real?
For real?
Like, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, dude, I go to clubs, and their clubs are awesome. And I would tell them, dude, I go to clubs and nobody gets shot. No one gets killed.
Okay.
Like nobody. So that was a stereotype that I had to fight, you know, in the States, you know, where I'm from in the States. I want to stress that, because I don't want anybody want anybody sending emails like, oh man, he didn't know anything.
No,
I knew that.
No, they'll send to me. They'll leave it on the on the board, 4C1Family.com, or they'll leave it in our speed pipe, and of course I'm going to forward it to you. But this kind of sad ignorance in some cases, you know, there are reasons for it. And, you know, that goes way beyond what this podcast can handle.
Right. Unfortunately, we can't, you know, kind of, you know, unpack that.
And, right.
But yeah, that was, you know, those were the questions I got. And not just from friends. I got them from family members.
Yeah.
Got them, you know, like, yeah, like they just could not fathom. And I bet you it's completely different today because of social media. I bet you it's probably night and day now.
Right. How do you keep yourself in tune? You know, like, how do you keep yourself, I always say the same word, in focus. Well, how do you keep yourself in focus now? I mean, what are you doing now that helps you, you know, keep it all together? Now, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about your family, but what do you do now to keep you tuned in and to your directive?
I stay positive, for one. You know, I'm taking, you know, everything like day. I take life one day at a time. I'm steadily, you know, meeting new people. You know, when I'm out walking my dog, you know, I'm constantly stopping and talking to, you know, different neighbors, people that I like to talk to people. Like, I really do. I love talking to people. So I, you know, like I said, I try to have conversations on a daily basis. Like that is almost part of my life's mission, is to learn something, to be smarter than I was yesterday. Like that's like my motto, is just to be, to know something today that I did not know yesterday. And that comes about, you know, through, again, conversations with other people, on my job. I work at a middle school. So, you know, I'm constantly talking to the kids. I'm constantly talking to other teachers. You know, again, just trying to keep my mind sharp, trying to, you know, always learn something new.
So are you a teacher now in the middle school?
I'm not a teacher. My background is actually in broadcasting, but I did at one point I was studying education, so I had some education credentials. So I'm a part-time teacher at the school. So I guess you would call it a substitute teacher.
Okay. Now,
so I do that.
Okay. Now, you got there in 1996 in the military, and then to 2003, right? Now, when did you get married?
Right.
When did you get married?
I got married in 03.
Oh,
in 03. I left right after I got married. Me and my wife, we got married because I was leaving. I said, I think it's time for me to move on. I had, you know, I had did some things. I had got out the Army. I guess I was in the Army here, but then I got out.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived here, you know, as a civilian for a couple of years. And then, you know, some things didn't work out the way I planned. And I went into the Navy, to the U.S. Navy. And when I went into the Navy, you know, they were taking me to Virginia. And I said, well, you know, I'm in love with this girl I'm seeing, you know. So I married her.
Right.
And it I'm glad that worked out.
Wonderful. And yeah, there's three kids you got right now?
I do. I have three.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about them.
Oh man, they're great. They are absolutely great. I have a 4-year old, my daughter. She is a princess.
Wow.
And I say that because she will tell you that that's what she is. I have a 8-year old and he is like, he's smart as a whip and he's like the jokester. He loves, telling jokes and trying to make you laugh. He's awesome. And then I have a 12-year old that is just like, it's like looking in a mirror. Like he is so much like me. He questions everything, absolutely everything. And, he's very argumentative. He will argue.
And that's definitely you, right?
It is me. It is me. It is absolutely me. He, if I could tell just a quick story, we were in the States a couple of weeks ago and, my youngest brother, we were having, my kids had seen Burger King has some sort of fried macaroni and cheese bits or something. I don't know.
Okay.
And my kids, they wanted to try that because we were in the States. They saw it. They had seen it on YouTube. And my brother hadn't heard of it. So he was telling my 12-year-old, nah, I don't think that exists. And it was just really funny to see them go back and forth. You know, the way my son would respond to him, like my brother would go, well, this is a thing. You may have seen something on YouTube that somebody else had made. And my son would just let him finish his point, and then my son would go, yeah, but none of that you just said is true.
Oh,
it was like
goodness.
So funny. It was like so funny to see him, you know, kind of counter everything, you know, my brother was saying. And my brother looked at me and go, this boy reminds me of you.
Oh, okay. Now we confirmed that here on a podcast.
Yes, he is exactly like his dad, but they're great, man. They're great.
And how about the 8-year old, the joker?
Like I said, yeah, the 8-year old is he's a comedian. He loves to entertain you. He loves to tell jokes. He says the wittiest things. Like they're all just great.
Yeah, well, hold on, wait a minute, because I want to clarify. Is this from you now, or is this from the mom side now? the jokiness.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't really know where he gets that from. You know, I try to be funny, but I'm really not.
Right. Okay.
I'm not really funny. I know that I'm not. But my 8-year old, he is like really funny though. Like he will make almost any situation into a joke. He's a little clown, but he's not. You know, he's not a clown in school though.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of pay attention to that because, you know, I know a couple of comedians and they all say, you know, yeah, no, I wasn't the class clown. I was the guy that egged on the class clown.
Oh,
and that's my son. You know, he's not the class clown.
He's taking notes.
But, you know, he's taking notes. Yeah. In fact, he has a YouTube channel.
Can we put that in the show notes?
Yeah, we don't like he'll post something and then we make him take it down.
Oh, okay.
But we do encourage it though. So we let him post, and once his couple of friends at school once they've seen it, then we tell them to take it down.
Oh, what kind of questions do you get from the kids about at least the American part of them? What kind of questions do you get from them?
You know, they don't really have that many questions because, for example, my middle child, the majority of his life has been spent, traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's only been in, you know, he's been in North Carolina and Georgia and South Korea and Germany. So for them, you know what it is? This is just a way of life for them. They don't,
right.
They don't know any other life. You know, so for them, their life is about, you know, packing up and moving every couple of years. And they adjust to it, you know, well, so far, we haven't had any issues that I think is coming from them, you know, not being in one place for, you know, that long so far, you know, knock on wood.
So your third culture kids, huh?
Is that what that's called?
That's right.
I think so. Yeah.
Because they live in Germany. They know the language a little bit. And they speak English, they know about home, and the moms is, of course, I'm sure, teaching them about the German side of them. And right. And they're going right.
They have German relatives here that they see, you know, their oma, their aunts. So they have German relatives that they, you know, see very, very often. And, I never looked at it like that, but I guess they are.
Yeah, oma, opa, yeah. So, I mean, they're educated in a local school system, right? So... That's cool.
No, they're educated on POST.
Okay.
Where I work, on the Army base here, there's an elementary school and a high school and a middle school, and so, you know, they're around kids that again are in the same situation they're in, and mm-hmm. maybe that makes it a little bit better. You know, all of the kids in their class have parents who are either DOD employees, you know, working for the government, or their military soldiers. So I think maybe that makes it a little bit easier for them because they've only been in DOD schools their entire lives. So they don't really. In fact, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling them that, you know, things are going to be different when we go back to the States, because you won't be in a DOD school, you know, you're going to be in an American school. And I was just kind of, you know, telling them how different that's going to be for them, trying to, you know, starting to prepare them now. Cause I do think it's going to be somewhat of a shock for them, you know, to be around kids that may not know what it's like to, you know, travel. Mm-hmm. I told him, I said, you may be around some kids that have never left Virginia.
Right.
So, you know, they won't have the worldview that you have.
Wow. That's a bomb there. You know that, right? That's
yeah,
a big bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't really, you know, again, I didn't grow up like, you know, my kids are growing up. So I have to feel my way through things, right? I have to just sort of wing it. Because, you know, I sometimes don't know what to say to them. Like, you know, sometimes when they ask questions about, you know, like maybe one of my cousins, you know, would say to them, like one of my kid, mm-hmm. Younger cousins that's, you know, their age, you know, they may say something and my 12-year-old would go, oh, man, you know, like her iPad got stolen at school. And for my kids, you know, again, because they go to a military school, you know, we don't theft isn't a thing.
Right.
So, you know, they could, you know, my son could leave his phone in his classroom and go back at the end of the day. And someone will either bring it to him. One of the students will either bring it to him or they'll take it to the teacher. You know, no one's going to steal anything.
Wow.
So, you know, again, I had explained to him like, yeah, it's different, you know. They go, you know, they're in a completely different environment than you are.
And it's kind of sad in some ways, you know, that, you know, you made this honest observation. I mean, and because, you know, things are looking kind of different. And as an African-American father, there's certain things that you have to say to your child back home, you know, and you may need to have that talk, too.
We've actually had that talk again. I know this is not a, you know, that kind of podcast.
Right, right.
but no, yeah, we, you know, we've had that talk. For example, you know, when we're in the States, I heard one of your guests on one of your previous shows say, you know, hey, you know, we can go into a store and I don't think about, you know, if one of my kids are going to be kidnapped.
Right.
You know, so if my daughter, if I lose sight of my daughter, I do not stress, mm-hmm. you know, because I know I'm going to find her. Someone's going to bring her to me. Right. And I know that there are parents out there that cannot even began to think about, you know, imagine what that's like to say, wait, you're in a mall, you just lost your daughter, and you're not worried.
You're not sweating it.
Right. Yeah, I know. No, somebody's going to bring it to me. You know, I'm pretty sure. Right. I'm 100% sure that someone's going to find her
and start a conversation with her. Right.
Exactly. I do not worry about, you know, something bad happening to my kids. When we're in the States, you know, I say, no, stay in my line of sight.
Right. Right.
You know, we're in the States now. And when we were home a couple of weeks ago, you know, we landed in Chicago and mm-hmm. we got off the plane and I was already, stay in my line of sight.
It's like the state side of you turned on.
It turned on fast. Like, automatic, man. Like, hey, we are in the States now. You do not walk off. Right. For no reason. You do not walk off.
Right.
You know, my daughter is used to going to the bathroom by herself. She's four. But she's used to going to the bathroom by herself. And I was like, no, Dad, you got to go with Daddy now.
That's right.
You have to come in with Daddy now. You can't go in the bathroom by yourself.
Yeah. And this leads, you know, to this, you know, like, you know, things back home are changing right now. And right now I'm talking to you in October 30th, 2016. And we have the presidential election coming up in the States. And, you know, how has that affected you being where you are and what the vibes are you feeling from it?
From the, oh man. I think I'm feeling what most Americans feel. Let me try to give you a political answer since this is not a political podcast.
Well, the thing is though, being an expat, most expats, American expats at least, have a certain point of view that may differ a lot from people who are stateside.
You know what? And we do. I think that we may, and this is just my, you know, my opinion and my observation, but I think that we may, because we have a different perspective, because we get to see the world now from a different lens or through a different lens, I think that we are definitely looking at the election in a different manner than people who are in the thick of it, right? People mm-hmm. who are in the United States. And I'm gonna say this, an expat is looking at it from a more rational way.
You know, sometimes I like to say, you know, Drew, I like to say sometimes that expats are like the canary in the coal mine. You know, we are sensitive to certain things. Maybe people back home just aren't.
That's a really good comparison. Like it really is because, you know, again, I think it's mostly because we have a different perspective of the world. We, you know, we're talking to people that, you know, that the people in the States are not, you know what it is? We're getting the foreign perspective, and people in the States are only, unfortunately, they're only able to talk to people who agree with them. Mm-hmm. You know, people like that share your beliefs, share your political beliefs. And in the States, if you do actually have a conversation with someone that has, you know, that has a different position on something or a different stance on something, It's mostly the conversation is going to be mostly a debate,
a confrontation,
and right. You know, I don't want to say like it's going to be a fight, but it is still somewhat of a debate. You know, you're not really trying to hear their side. You're just trying to stress your own point. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, of course, we both know that's not a conversation. when you're in our position, when you have the privilege, you know, that we have to sit down with someone and let's just say talk about something that one of the candidates have said, you get, I think, the most honest opinion.
Right.
Because they don't have a dog in the fight. Right. I don't know. In fact, I'm gonna ask you a question. Like, let me kind of turn it around on you real quick.
Remember, I can edit this out now. Okay, go ahead. That's it, like somebody, I'm interviewing somebody going to take over the show, but that's okay. That's cool.
I don't want to take over. That's cool. I'm just wondering.
Okay.
Because you speak the language where you are.
Right.
Right. So when the news reports anything, not just something that's happening in the election, but when the news reports anything from, you know, anything that's going on around the world, right? Your local news,
mm-hmm.
Do they report it with commentary or do they just report the facts?
Well, sometimes the facts and sometimes their own commentary, their own point of view. And that's that. I do get questions from people asking me, you know, what's going on? And sometimes I just say, okay, this is what's going on. And that's all I can do.
Right. Right. Yeah, because see, where I am, of course, there are some stations that do report it and then they'll, you know, give their opinion. But those are mostly, you know, television shows, right? Mm-hmm. But the majority of at least the news networks that I watch that are in English, or even the ones that are in German, my wife would translate it for me. You know, they just say, hey, look, this is what happened. So my German neighbor doesn't hear CNN and Fox and MSNBC. You know, they don't get a chance to hear their take on it, mm-hmm. their spin on it. Right. So when something has happened, they're getting only the absolute raw facts. So they're making up, at least this is the way I look at it. They're making up their own mind about something. So when I am having a conversation, you know, whether it be about our candidates or, you know, what's going on here with the refugees, you know, it is. I think it is, you know, no matter what their opinion is, I kind of feel like it is their opinion. When I'm talking to an American, I just hear talking points.
Mm. All right.
I hope that made sense because I kind of felt
no,
like I started
no. That,
kind of going off on a tangent.
No. This no, things have to be explained clearly, and usually the clear version is a little bit longer. but you know, I'm really, you know, glad to had the opportunity to meet an expat of your particular experience, you know, military wise. And it brings a whole different perspective because a lot of people I interview, they're not military, most of them, matter of fact, all of them. And they just go because of educational reason or business, you know, job and stuff like that. But you're the like first
opportunity.
One. Yeah. Yeah. And your opportunity is just different and you grasped it in a different way, which add spice, and I'm sure people would like to hear about that. But do you think at this point, how has it changed you living abroad, your overseas experience? How has it changed you as a person from now until the future, you think?
I think it's just going to make me, you know, a better person. I strive to be, in general, right? I just strive to be a good human being, to be a productive member of any society, you know, that I'm living in. And, you know, and, you know, because again, I hate to just keep using the same words over and over again, but because of, you know, because I have been privileged to, you know, travel a little bit and talk to different people, my worldview is, you know, is kind of broad. You know, I know that there are, you know, I know that there are other ways of life. And I know that there are, you know, I look at things from more than one angle now. And so I think that, you know, this won't be the last time I come overseas. I'm pretty sure that in a couple of years, I'll probably be living somewhere else. You know, I've made friends, especially since I've been doing the podcast. I've made friends in, you know, Canada and New Zealand and Australia. So I'm pretty sure that at some point, you know, I will, you know, travel and meet some of these people.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's just going to make me a more well-rounded person. And hopefully I pass that off to my friend, to my kids, and to my friends. Right. Yeah. And to the people around me.
Right.
Cause see, I'm sorry, but I think that's what it's about, man. It's when you are like us and your other guest, right? If you are an expat, I almost feel like it's our duty to not preach, right, but to, you know, to offer, you know, God, I don't even really know how to explain it, but I think it's our duty to at least, you know, try to relay our experiences to other people, you know, that are not in the position that we are. So when you go home, I almost feel like it's your duty to bring gifts, right? So that, you know, your family members and friends can just experience it, you know, even if it's through just, you know, a something from the local area, right? Something that's, you know, popular in that local area, or something that's well known in that local area. And it's your job to, you know, to tell them about your experience. And again, not in a preachy way, not in a snobby way, right, but just in a way, it's just your, I just think it's our job to, I don't want to use the word educate.
Right. Okay.
But
to reflect.
Yeah. Right. Right. I guess reflection is more personal about you, but whatever the opposite of reflection is, to tell other people about your experiences, you know, because everyone don't get to, you know, to travel.
Right.
You know, there are people, you know, in the States that will never, ever get to, you know, leave the States, or maybe they would if, let's say, they met someone and that person was just, you know, talking about how great living in England was, mm-hmm. you know, and that person, you know, if you kind of plant the seed,
right,
and that person, oh, man, I met this person 3 years ago and, you know, he was talking about how great it was, you know, living in Switzerland. And right. I think I just, you know, he made me want to go to Switzerland. I don't know. Did that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's a feeling, you know, to radiate that kind of feeling that, you know, people elsewhere have, I should say, people elsewhere like ourselves have the same concerns, and you can make mm-hmm. long lasting relationships with people like that. And you mentioned, there's another one to jump in. You also a podcaster, and can you talk a little bit about your podcast?
Yes, I have a secular podcast. It's called Another Atheist Podcast, because I'm an atheist. And it's pretty much a interview podcast. We talk a lot about politics.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually more social commentary than about religion.
Right.
Right. Because I don't really like, you know, being preachy.
Right. Okay.
As you could tell, I'm long-winded.
That's okay.
But I try not to be preachy. I don't like, you know, being judgmental. I hate that. Absolutely hate that. And so, So I have guests on, and we talk about, you know, what's going on in the world, and it's all just from a skeptic's point of view.
Right. It'll be in the show notes and the other stuff. I just really want to thank you for your time. And before I let you go, what advice would you give to those who are thinking about, or those who are already or just beginning expats? What advice would you give them on their journey to living their life abroad?
Anywhere abroad, or just
anywhere,
in Germany?
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Look, experience everything there. That's my advice. Experience every single thing that you could. Travel, you know, don't, if your job puts you in Amsterdam, you know, don't just stick around Amsterdam, right? Travel to other parts of the Netherlands and then come down to Germany and, you know, go over to France, you know, travel, interact with the locals. If you're not the type of person to go to a bar, you know, go to a park, mm-hmm. go to, you know, if you're religious, go to church. I mean, just interact, experience, and while you experiencing it, keep in mind that you're in a fortunate position. just and never just never let that go. Just always realize that, you know, you're in a very fortunate position, and share that experience, you know, when you go back to the States, to people who may not be able to, you know, see the places that you've seen. You know, share that experience. Share it on Facebook. That's a good one. I didn't even think about that. share your experiences. You know, again, not in a braggadocious, you know, type of way. But I'm just saying, share your experiences, man. People like to see things like that, because you may not necessarily influence someone, but you just may help broaden their horizon. You may help broaden their worldview.
Wow.
That's my advice.
That's Dre dropping the mic.
That's Dreism. That's Dreism.
Well, Dre, look, thanks a lot for, you know, allowing me this time with you. And look, if anybody out there have any questions, drop by the website, 4C1Family.com. You know, leave us a little note here, and I'll put as much as I can in the show notes, or leave us a voicemail on our SpeakPipe page. And, you know, we'll be glad to, you know, to hear from you. And any questions, I'll try to pass them over to Dre. So once again, Dre, thanks a lot for joining me. And you,
man, we're finished. I'm having such a great time, though.
Well, you'll be back on the show again.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for reaching out to me. Thank you for having me. I'm going to ask you, I don't normally do this when I go on somebody's podcast, but I really like this conversation. So I'm going to put you on the spot and extend an invitation for you to come on my show.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
I don't normally put people on the spot, but, you know, because if you say yes, then you got to do it, right?
You hear it. I'll be there. Well,
good deal. Thank you.
Take care. And thank you for those who have tuned in. Take care. Thank you once again for spending time with us here at 4C's One Family. If you have any questions, please drop by the website, 4C'sOneFamily.com. You can leave us a message there, or leave us suggestions, or leave a message using our SpeakPipe application there. I will be so glad to hear from you. And if you can, please drop by iTunes and leave us a rating and help us get the word out that we are all the same but different, and that what makes us unique. For 4C's One Family, I'm James Thomas. Take care. Zai Jian. Overseas One Family is the production of the World Data Exchange Video Network, WDEVN.